Welcome, ladies. Thanks for listening to the Women's Health Happy Hour podcast. My name is Dr. Dawn Andalone. I'm a physical therapist, women's health specialist, author, speaker, and founder of Level 4 PT and Pilates. In this podcast, we sit back, have a drink, and talk all things health and wellness, and to help women lead an active, vibrant, and healthy lifestyle. So thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
We are the day before Thanksgiving, actually, no, a couple days before Thanksgiving, and I am doing a solo episode today. I'm recording with a glass of red wine with me and talking about something that we get asked a lot, especially from the clients that we see that are over 40, myself included, and have gone through similar struggles. So I wanted to share an episode about what works to boost your metabolism and really target fat loss over the age of 40. We know our bodies are changing, our hormones are changing, going through this perimenopause to menopausal stage. You may be in it in your 40s, you may be in your 50s, and you are feeling a shift. Maybe you've put on some extra weight, you're having more difficulty sleeping, you're waking up in the middle of the night and you didn't used to before, or you're having trouble getting to sleep, or your hair is thinning, you're getting moodier. All these fun changes that happen when our hormones start shifting and changing over the age of 40. And weight loss, I think, is one of the biggest motivating factors for women when they're looking at what they can do with diet and exercise. But I want to tell you that there is a little bit more to that and a different philosophy. Not only diet and exercise and eating less and exercising more, the things we used to do in our 20s, they don't work. Your body works differently, and you have to think about your fitness differently when you are 40 and beyond. Plus, these aches and pains start creeping up. You may try to do something new activity, and you feel like you tore your hamstring, or you threw your back out, or your neck gets really sore. Our body is, think of it like a car. It has to undergo maintenance, and you have to get check-ins with someone that is great with body work and can really keep you ahead of the game and keep your muscles from breaking down, keep your joints healthy, and address the things that are going to keep you active for a long time. So I'm going to go through a list of things that especially I have learned from working with a naturopathic doctor and what has worked in a lot of the clients that I have worked with, whether that was in my personal training days or as a fitness consultant and now 20 years as a physical therapist working with active women. I have learned a lot about health and wellness, and also I've interviewed some great people on this podcast in the last few years who have expertise on these topics. So it's really fun to share this with you. So take this all with a grain of salt. They may work for some, not work for others, but these are researched and studied different factors that do address metabolism, fat burning, and weight loss as you reach perimenopause and beyond. So number one, we're going to target more on weight loss and how to lose belly fat, because I think that is a motivating factor and everyone wants to still look fit over 40, fit over 50. And what does that look like? Well, the first thing is getting enough sleep. We can't say this enough. And sometimes this kind of just goes over our head and go, yeah, I know. But are you getting quality sleep? What does your sleep look like? There are ways now to look at your type of sleep. Are you waking up multiple times? Are you hitting that real deep sleep? Maybe you have an Oura ring or you have some kind of app that can measure this for you. But people that don't get real sound sleep for at least that 6 to 8 hours, or they're constantly feeling like they're waking up and having trouble getting to sleep, there are things that can help you, whether that's taking some magnesium. I use Calm magnesium before I go to bed. It's unwinding, maybe using some lavender, some soft music, some turning off your phone, not looking at gadgets, different ways to get your nervous system in that state where it's ready to go to sleep and hopefully stay asleep. Now, sleep is when your body is repairing. So if you are pushing yourself to work out, you need your muscles to repair and your body to get in that state where it can take care of itself. It's also good for your immune system. If you're not getting enough sleep, your immune system is going to be more sensitive. So sleep is a primary key thing. And I know this does affect a lot of women in perimenopause to menopause and beyond, but looking at ways that you can really optimize your sleep, and sometimes supplements may help with that. Now, if you're using alcohol in order to fall asleep, that actually disturbs your sleep. So yes, I know we all love a glass of wine. I'm actually having one right now, but using alcohol to get in that state to calm your body and fall asleep, you will actually have more interruptions in your sleep, and alcohol will not help your sleep. This is tried and tested, and also it's very much researched that the use of alcohol does not help you get into that deep sleep. Now, just try the difference. Try a couple nights without a glass of wine or anything and just do the practices that you know will get you to that calm state. See if you actually do sleep better, because I promise it works. And on that note, if you're managing your stress, if you are doing things that you recognize are stressing yourself out constantly over and over, because a little bit of stress is okay and sometimes it's necessary. But if you're pushing that stress every single day and you're around things that are getting your nervous system on that high alert, that also is going to secrete hormones that will keep that extra belly fat, like cortisol. And if you've heard of cortisol before, that is your stress hormone. And also it's regulated with your sleep. So stress management, taking walks during the day, seeing the sunlight, getting active, seeing the sunlight first thing in the morning, also listening to music, doing yoga, things like that that are going to keep your stress hormones in check, are going to also affect belly fat and weight loss. So stress management and sleep. Can't say those enough. And I think as women, we sometimes just leave those on the wayside and say, I'll get to that later. I'll eventually live that life. I'll eventually get there. Make it a priority. You will see a difference. Now we're going to go into more of the fitness and exercise. And if you used to just run or get on the elliptical or jam it out in a fitness class where you're just doing a lot of cardio, this is what used to work in our 20s. Does it work now? Cardio, it does burn calories. Yes, it is important for cardiovascular health. But does it really boost your metabolism? No. When you have more lean muscle mass, you actually will continue to burn more calories throughout the day after you're done exercising. This also has been researched and studied. I remember back in exercise physiology classes in college, this was so important, talking about resistance training and the effect that it has on your metabolism. And the more lean muscle mass that you have, then the higher that is going to boost the way that your body expends energy. This is also healthy for your bones when talking about osteoporosis and preventing that mineral loss in your bones and breakdown of your bones. The more muscle tone you have and the more you're stressing your muscles, it actually helps your bones. So metabolism, bone health, and also weight loss and belly fat loss. I can't say enough about strength training and resistance training. Now, some people will do body weight training and work on exercises that are really going to help tone your body, which you can in body weight exercises, but you also need to stress your body in other ways with increased resistance. So whether, like in our place, we use a Pilates reformer a lot, there's extra springs on there that can, you can do things in standing and weight bearing that are going to stress your muscles, stress your joints and your bones in a healthy way. And also, we recommend that our clients do weight training another couple days a week because that gives you those extra benefits. Can't say that enough. So women over 40, if you are not doing strength training or you don't know how to, then you need a guide, someone that can help teach you the right way to do it, because that's going to keep you healthy for a long time and also prevent your body from breaking down with injuries too. So resistance training, not always just going after cardio. I still am a cardio queen. I love doing cardio. I love sweating. But you have to mix in 2 to 3 days of strength training, resistance training. Okay, moving on from fitness. What about your diet? Well, there's so many different opinions about different ways to eat, but I'm going to talk about just one factor, and that is increasing your protein in your diet. Increased protein also helps the muscle be able to repair and restore itself after a hard workout. And also, it's the building blocks of your muscles, your whole body system. And so having that amino acids, the protein built into your diet at a higher level is also going to help with fat loss and your metabolism. So how do you know how much protein to eat? Well, this is also a controversial thing. And being in the fitness world, I have heard multiple things change over the years. I am going to share a link in the show notes here of something called the omnicalculator.com, which you can fill it in with your gender, your weight, your height, and it gives you your lean body mass calculator. And I love this because if you're figuring out how much protein you should have by dividing it and figuring out kilograms and then putting that to number of grams of protein. This is one way that people teach how much protein you should have. But I really like looking at your estimated lean body mass. And your lean body mass is taking into account your actual amount of muscle and your body mass for takes into account your body fluids and things like that as well. So if you figure out this calculator and you do this calculator, like for me, it actually gave me 108 pounds of lean body mass. And so I am going to match that with about 0.8 to 1.4 grams of protein per pound of my lean body mass. And this is more accurate because it's more doable as well. I think people get overwhelmed by thinking they need all this protein and then you're not going to do it right if you're trying to calculate it and you're going to overwhelm yourself. So think about a breast of chicken. Think about a piece of fish. Think about if you're a vegetarian, think about what you would have in a handful of nuts, in maybe some soy beans. Or tofu, you have different ways to get your protein. And I'm not going to talk about all the specific ways to get protein, but using this calculator, I found it was helpful because you want to go off your lean body mass, and that might actually be a little more doable and a little more accurate for you rather than your full body weight. This should also be a priority if you are trying to lose fat, is focusing more on the protein intake in your diet. It will actually make you feel a little more full and you won't load up as much on the carbs and the other things that can add empty calories into your diet. So that's where I'm going to go with diet. Other than that, there are so many other things where people believe in intermittent fasting. I have a whole podcast on that with a specialist in intermittent fasting. Some people feel great doing it. Some people really struggle with it, so it's not for everyone. And also doing things like paleo diet, keto diet. I'm not going to go out. I think that's a personal preference. You have to do what's right for your body. But if you are struggling with like sugar cravings or not getting enough, you know, feeling like you're hungry all the time, or you're craving a lot of things, that usually means your diet is missing some vital minerals and vitamins, and therefore trying to increase your protein levels in different sources can really help that and keep your blood sugar more stable, which also affects going into diabetes and other things down the road. Okay. Then I just want to talk about one other thing, and that would be some supplements. You know, supplements are another controversial thing, and I think you need to talk to your doctor about what types of supplements are best. But if you're seeing someone where you're getting your blood tested for your hormone levels when you're over 40, and your vitamin levels, your thyroid levels, your cortisol, and some of the other stress hormones, and your liver enzymes, all that, I think that is definitely going to give a clearer picture. And from there, on what your body might be missing and how to add in supplements to help if you're not getting enough from your diet. Number one is trying to get most of it, if not all, from your diet. But if you sometimes you need a little extra help. So things like vitamin D3, magnesium, like I mentioned, to help you sleep and also helps your muscles, fish oil, and sometimes things like like for me, I have thyroid issues, so I was told to take selenium, and also there was something else that I can't remember off the top of my head, but I do take on a daily basis that has some extra supplements just to be able to regulate my hormones and keep them where they need to be. So if you're finding yourself like exhausted all the time and you're relying on coffee and caffeine to get through the day, you may find that getting a blood test to see where your hormone and vitamin levels are is really going to give you a better picture on what else might be missing that you can supplement in there. Because that really was a game changer for me when I could see a clear picture and see what else I was missing. Like I wasn't getting enough iron and I wasn't getting enough vitamin D, even though I live in a sunny place. So it depends how your body absorbs those vitamins and minerals as well. Then the last thing that I do want to discuss is the use of caffeine and alcohol. So caffeine, I love an espresso. I am kind of obsessed with my Nespresso. But I have had to go through these phases where I realize it starts affecting my sleep or it's affecting my response to stress. And also, it's causing some dehydration. So if I'm not hydrating enough, I'm drinking like 3 of those huge water bottles a day. I'm almost up to a gallon of water a day, which I have noticed a huge change in my skin, my energy level. It has really been something that I'm like, I know this, but why wasn't I doing it? So upping your hydration levels and your water levels, especially if you consume caffeine or alcohol. Now, caffeine, if you're drinking, say, 2 cups of coffee or 3 cups of coffee, try this. Just drink 1 of those cups of coffee and then substitute the other one for green tea. Green tea also boosts your metabolism and it helps with fat burning. Now, research has also shown this as well, and it still can give you a little bit of that caffeine without overwhelming your system. Maybe some people switch to matcha, which also has a lot of antioxidants. It also has those benefits of green tea, but watch the sweetener with the matcha, especially if you're ordering it from Starbucks or somewhere, because it's not a healthy matcha, I can promise you that. But making it at home, you can create a healthier one as well. But the caffeine levels, if you're drinking more than 1 cup of coffee a day, just try that little trick, because that's something else that can help your hydration levels from keeping you feeling dehydrated, and also being dehydrated makes your joints and your muscles almost more prone to feeling aches and pains. So water really goes a long way and makes your body feel better. But if you're experiencing any back or neck pain or muscle pain and you're not getting enough healthy fluids, like straight up water, then that can also make a huge difference too. Alcohol, using in moderation. I don't have to go down this rabbit hole, but some of us like a glass of wine here and there. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people nowadays that are totally cutting out alcohol out of their diet and noticing their belly fat goes down within a couple weeks, which is true because alcohol is going to add that extra fat, extra weight, because there's no other way to really metabolize it. And we are going to store it as fat. If you see too, there's a bunch of other new up and coming drinks and beverages that you can buy in the store that maybe make you feel like you're having a cocktail, but there's no alcohol in it. And they're actually pretty healthy for you without a lot of sugar and other things. There's a lot of new things on the market because people are advertising now that they're going sober. They're not drinking. So there are other alternatives too. But I just wanted to share the top things that I've been trying for myself, and some have really helped me move the needle and have kept me more motivated too, because I feel better. And I think it's about how your brain is performing and how your body is feeling better. Yes, it's how we look. We care about that as well. But if your brain does not feel good and you can't think straight and you're getting this brain fog, then it tells you you really need to dial back and look at each one of these different things that I discussed and see if you are implementing it in your own way, or talk to your doctor about what they would recommend as well. So I hope you learned something from this episode. If you have more comments or questions, I would love for you to click on any of the links that we have in our show notes and check us out. Thanks for listening. And if you go back to any of our other episodes on this topic, we have some great ones about nutrition, about fitness, about metabolism, and other things as well. So I hope you have a lovely week, and thanks for listening.